Good morning. Greetings to you all in the name of Jesus. It is a blessing to be here again today and to look into the Word of God, to worship the Lord together with all of you. It was encouraging to hear the things that were shared here this morning already, and they in a way in small ways and big ways play into what I want to speak about today. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you, God, again for your goodness to us. Thank you for another beautiful summer day. Thank you for life and health and for so many good things that we enjoy. And I pray, God, that we would always keep in mind that you are the source of those blessings as we enjoy them. Help us to be thankful, to acknowledge you, not only as the giver and the source, but also as God of our lives, our Father in heaven. And I pray, God, as we think about that, we would desire to understand your direction, your input into our lives, so that we as well can bring honor to you. So I thank you for the things that we talked about this morning already, the things that we heard, the things that we sang about, and I pray that you would continue to guide our thoughts, our words, as we go through this next time of thinking about your word, what it has to say. Help us to understand how it applies to our everyday life, and help us to hear your voice and allow you to be working your work in us so that we can be the kind of person that brings honor to your name. We thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for each one that is here today. Help us to be encouraged as we fellowship together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 2 weeks ago when I spoke, I was speaking about the battle of the mind. I want to continue to speak on that today, and might take a few more sessions to get through it, but I think it's so important for us, no matter what age we are, to let God shape our minds. In the children's lesson, there was a young person whose mind was being shaped, and she was looking at people, and she went to her mom, and so there was different input that she was receiving that was shaping her mind. Matthew talked about his mind being shaped, and I have a fairly lively imagination, and that's sometimes not good. And sometimes it's a lot of interest in life, but just imagine this morning if we had a slide projector up here, but it was big enough that we could stuff one of you into it, and we could go through every hour of the past week and display your thoughts up here on the wall. Anybody volunteer to have your thoughts displayed on the wall for all of us to see? I didn't really think I'd get a volunteer for that. I don't know that I'd want to volunteer for that either. And so why is that? I think that one of the reasons is that whether we really think about it or make a conscious choice, we often I don't really know the words to use. We kind of rationalize that since we're not acting it out, at least it's not. At least I didn't do it. At least I didn't put it into action, and so it's not bad. But I'd like for us to think about how our thoughts affect who we are and how we live that out. 2 weeks ago, I read the verse in Ezekiel where God says, I look for a man to stand in the gap and to make up the hedge. And God says, I found none. I found no reason. I found no one that would give me a reason to not destroy the land. And God is still looking for people who will rise up and be faithful. No matter what anybody else is doing, they're still going to be faithful. After the message, Brother Henry mentioned what God said to Abraham. God told Abraham, be perfect. Walk in my ways and be perfect. Wow. How do we do that? How do we get there? What does it take? What kind of person do we have to be to fulfill that? And would God choose us out of a society of people and say, walk in my ways and be thou perfect? But God is looking for people who are faithful people. And I guess today what I would like to analyze, or the question I'd like for us to ask, which is more important, our actions or our thoughts and desires? So with the goal of being the kind of person that God could say, that person is walking in my ways, that's a perfect person. Do you have to behave perfectly? Or do you have to have your thoughts and desires in line too? I think most of us would pretty quickly say that our thoughts and desires have a huge impact on what we act out. There are two things that we have to choose between and we have to contend with. And the downside is what I want to read about first here. And we read about that in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 8 and 9. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So we have that on one hand. We are given the picture of a roaring lion. Brother Jordan read this morning about the adversary that wants to sow thorns. He wants to get thorns in there, in a person's life. And that is more of a gradual taking over and a gradual destroying of the fruit. The roaring lion pounces and destroys. The thorns and the tares that are sown are also the work of that same enemy. And the desire is to have those thorns grow in little ways, perhaps, to begin. And especially the tares. He sows the tares. And the purpose of that is to destroy the good fruit. John chapter 13 and verse 2. I'm going to read that verse. John 13, verse 2, it says, supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So there, the devil gets into the heart of Judas in order to carry out the work that he wanted him to do. And so those are just a couple of verses that tell us the desire and the purpose of an enemy. Also, let's go to Matthew chapter 15 couple of different verses there in Matthew that I would like to read. Matthew 15, the action people. It starts this chapter. It's talking about the action people. Remember, ask the question, which is more important, our actions or our thoughts and desires? It talks about the people here that wanted to get their acts just right. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." You're not following the right protocol here. Why is that? And so Jesus goes on and he talks to them, verse 8 and 9. "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Also, let's jump to verse 17 of the same chapter. "Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth out into the belly, and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." And so there Jesus puts it into a picture of saying that it's not just the outward actions that we do, but it is from that which is from within that really determines who we're going to be. Now let's go to John chapter 17. Jesus there is praying, and in that prayer we can see a bit of his desire for those that would follow him. Verses 13 and 14. "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." So what is Jesus saying there about his desire for people? That is that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Now, Jordan read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 this morning. Can someone tell me what that verse says? And what follows? That's right. "Who for the joy that was set before him despised the cross, despised the shame, and," I'm drawing a blank too. "Endured the cross, despising the shame," yes. So in John chapter 17 there, Jesus in his prayer is praying to his Father, and his desire for those who would believe in him, that would be that his joy could be fulfilled in them, could be found in them. So our enemy, Satan, his purpose is to destroy. And on the other hand, we have Jesus, and his purpose is that we would be able to experience his joy. Now, if we could just take those verses in John chapter 17, we could kind of shape that into maybe Jesus just wants to fill our lives with joy. But if we take that along with Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Who for the joy that was set before him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame." He was willing to do the hard work that it took to get to the joy that was set before him. And I think that we so much, so often in this country, we want to be able to skip that part and just take a shortcut to having Jesus pray for us, that his joy would be in our lives and would fill us up. And we don't always want to deal well with the striving part, the working part, the having to work toward, and the fact that so often that joy is set before us, and it is the true joy, and it is worth working for. Luke chapter 13. There is another example of the words of Jesus, and where he's talking about people who have done good things. They've been to good places and they did good deeds, but somehow it didn't work out. So Luke chapter 13, beginning in verse 25. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know not whence you are. And then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. So here were a group of people who they hung out with the right people. They were at the right places. They probably sang the right words, and they did some of the right deeds. But Jesus tells them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So it's not just in our actions that determines who we are. It has so much to do with the thoughts and the intents of our heart. And now, some of you were here 2 weeks ago, but I gave the illustration that within our heart, it is as if we have a well. Those of you who have visited third world countries and visited villages where they have hardly any water, here it's so easy to take for granted that we're going to go to the spigot and get some good water to drink. But in many places in these villages, they go down to the water hole and where all the animals come to drink as well, and they get water there and they carry it back home for them, for their own use and for their families. And a lot of us, with our soft bodies who are used to clean water, it would do us in pretty quick. Some of them, they built up a lot of resistance to that, and they can handle more germs. But often you'll find that there's a lot of sickness. And when someone comes along and says, hey, you guys need to dig a well, and convinces them they need a well where they can get good, clean water. And so they dig a well, and they have all this nice, clean water, and they build a wall around it to try to keep it as clean as possible. And they have, finally, good, clean water. And the village gets much healthier. Everybody's a lot happier because they have good, clean water. And the babies are healthier. The babies survive much better. Everyone's much happier, because they now have good, clean water. But when people get careless and don't take care of it, and dirt falls in, it begins to contaminate the water. You know, rodents and animals have a way of falling in there. Maybe somebody decides it's a good place to get rid of a dead pet. They throw that in there. And after a while, the village begins to be a little more sickly again, because their water started to get contaminated. And so they got to get in there and clean out whatever garbage is in there. And maybe those things are thrown in there intentionally by people. Maybe it's people you don't like. Maybe it's neighbors who are jealous. They're throwing stuff in there intentionally. But the fact of the matter is, until you get down in there and do the hard work of cleaning it up, then there's not going to be real health that comes out of that well. And that clean water is so important. So it is in our hearts. When we receive Jesus, it opens up a fountain of life within us to where we truly can now live. And so within our hearts, we have that well that is a source of life, but so often our enemy wants to come along and just sneak little things in there. Because if he came all at once and dumped a bag of arsenic in there, we would in no way touch that water. We would know that that was instant death. We wouldn't have anything to do with it. But in small ways, he wants to add little things, because then he knows that we'll begin to cut down on our spiritual health. So just like the water we drink that gives us physical life and has a large portion of our physical well-being connected to it, so the things that are in our hearts or minds will affect our spiritual well-being. Little wonder that a wise man a long time ago said, gave this proverb that says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so it is in the verses in Matthew chapter 15 where Jesus talks about, he tells the Pharisees there that it is what's coming out of you, what's in your heart that comes out of you that has a defiling effect. It's not the fact that your hands weren't quite perfectly clean, but it's because of what's in your heart and what's proceeding out of your heart. That is what is truly defiling you. Luke chapter 6, I'm going to turn to that one. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, it says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And so there Jesus is telling us that what's in the well of our heart is so important, because what we are drawing out of that, our life flows out of our innermost being. And what is in there that we are drawing out of is going to affect who we are and whether or not we are workers of iniquity. Just like the physical well, the kind of water that's in there, if it's good, clean water, well, a well-maintained well brings health and prosperity, typically. But one that is contaminated, whether just with time and things falling in there or somebody purposely putting something in there, one that is contaminated soon has an effect on the life of the people that are drawing from that well. And so it is with our innermost being, with our hearts, with our minds, as we what we let in there. What we let in there, contamination, or are we going to clean it up? James chapter 1, there are some verses there as well. And let's keep in mind that as we go through this, that God's goal is to work his work in us so that we could be a strong person like Abraham. We could be a strong person like Noah, who was willing to step up and do a job that no one else could do. Maybe a person like Nehemiah, somebody who's willing to step up and do a job. God wants to work his work in us so that we can be that kind of people. And the devil's goal is to keep that from happening. The devil knows your potential today. He knows your potential for the kingdom of God. And he wants to keep that from happening. James chapter 1, verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So the tongue will give an indication of the heart. Also, chapter 3, verse 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offends not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. So if you got your tongue under control, this verse tells us it's an indication that you got your body under control. So if the Spirit of God has control of our tongue, we can also know that the Spirit of God has control of our body as well. So as we look at those verses, the words of Jesus and also the words of the apostles, those verses tell us about the source of wickedness or mischief or iniquity. And Jesus tells us pretty clearly that those things flow out of our heart or our mind, out of our inner being. Now, when we look around us, we can pretty obviously see that the devil has his followers openly pursuing evil. And we can see a progression in this country and in lots of places. Evil is on display and being pursued in a lot of ways. But in this country, over time, there seems to be a progression. The breakup of the home was a big thing. Abortion, the gay agenda. And now there is open acceptance by religious people of those things. And there are many who are making laws defending wickedness and condemning those who speak against. Now, open and obvious wickedness, I'm pretty sure for any of us, we would be instantly on, no, we don't want any part with that. We don't want to do that. And the devil knows that. The devil knows that. He's had a lot of practice at what he does. He's had many years, many generations, many human guinea pigs, so to speak, to try out his techniques. And he knows that when he comes as a roaring lion, those who belong to Christ, those who are part of the kingdom, that's pretty easy to identify. It's very easy to identify. But if we go to Matthew chapter 7, he gives us a side of the devil that is not as easy to resist, or perhaps even to always recognize what's going on. So Matthew chapter 7, in verse 15, he says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." So beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. It's the lion, so to speak, dressed up in nice clothes, who is saying the right words, wearing the right clothes, but the intent to destroy is still there. If we back up a couple of verses, Jesus says in verse 13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And he follows those verses up with the warning about wolves in sheep's clothing, which are false prophets, and they are those who teach things that do not come from God. And so therefore, as a roaring lion, that's easy to recognize, that's easy to resist, but it's the other part that is harder to necessarily always be on guard against, because it seems to catch us in ways that we hadn't expected. Satan is content to spend years tainting the well of our hearts in order to achieve his goal of destroying. And he does it through our thoughts. So again, the question, which is most important, our actions or our thoughts and desires? Satan is very good at utilizing our thoughts to achieve his ultimate purpose. Satan knows that the world of imagination that is enjoyed in a person's mind will often lead that person into something that is out of their control. I believe that God longs for us to recognize this fact, that the world of imagination that is enjoyed in a person's mind will often lead that person into something that is out of their control. How many people have you heard say or have read of or heard of who said, I never thought I would be here in this place? And it is something that most likely happened over time. Perhaps Satan was planting those things into the well of their mind, and knowing full well that it found a place and took root in their mind, to where one day it got out of control. And then it brought on situations that were even further out of their control. As I said before, it's easy for us, easy for humans, to justify their thoughts in their minds. Well, I'm not acting it out, so it doesn't hurt. It's not hurting anybody. It's normal. Everybody thinks these things. It's normal. Or, well, it's a good desire. It's really a good thing. There's a simple illustration. Doesn't all the lovely stories in romance novels, isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? Love and romance is wonderful. But what does it do to you if that doesn't work out in reality in your own life? So there's even good imaginings, okay imaginings that we can do that can lead us into a world of imagination that really sets us up for failure if we are not careful. And again, I want to say that our thoughts and our imaginations, every imagination is wrong. There is some that is quite instructive, actually. But Satan knows how easily that can be used to taint the well of our hearts. Satan is willing to spend years setting us up, tainting the well, so to speak, to destroy what God desires for us. There are many stories out there, stories that are told by counselors who are trying to help people through the wreckage of their life. There are people who were working their way up through the ladder in their careers. Things looked wonderful, and then bad choices were made that completely changed their opportunity and hopes for what they were working for. There have been young men whose dreams were destroyed by a bad choice. There are young ladies whose future was changed as well. There have been pastors. There have been dads, there have been moms who have found themselves in places where they never thought they would be. And pretty often, those choices were choices that at one time they would have said they would never make. But somehow, the devil caught them in a vulnerable time, perhaps had worked years to set it up to bring about his destruction. And there was one counselor that said almost all the people like that who he talked to said, I never thought or planned to be in this place. But most of them were willing to admit that they had normal thoughts. Those are just normal thoughts for people to have. We had normal thoughts about things like that, but I never planned to act it out. God longs for us to recognize this fact, that the world of imagination that is enjoyed, especially the imagination of something that we would think we would never do, that world of imagination that is enjoyed in a person's mind will often lead that person into things that are out of their control. We talk about fallout. So even beyond the impact of a person's choices on their own lives and their immediate family, children, siblings, job, career, what have you, we talk about fallout. And that's one of the things that a lot of people worry about. If there's ever a big, bad bomb, it doesn't just hurt the people in the immediate vicinity, but what drifts through the air and falls down way over here does a lot of damage too. And so the fallout of when a strong person goes down is often very far-reaching. Far-reaching consequences to other people. When I fail to be the godly person who stands in the gap for people, when I fail, the consequences can be very far-reaching. And again, God is looking for people who will be strong, who will stand in the gap, who will make up the difference, who will make up the hedge, to give God a reason to continue extending His mercy. God is looking for people like that. The devil wants to take those people down so that that doesn't happen, because he understands the consequences for the kingdom of God. Now, two weeks ago I told you about a couple of dreams that I had, and those dreams were so intense that I thought there must be something here that I'm supposed to learn. And remember I talked about how someone that I thought was a strong person committed suicide and just was done with it. Just decided to end it all. Do you think that happened in an instant's notice? Probably not. A very sad story just recently about a father who thought he'd dropped off his child at the daycare. Forgot he was in the car, he said, and his small child died because he was left in a hot car all day. And when the dad discovered that, he went home and ended his life. Couldn't deal with it. Maybe that happens in an instant's notice, at a moment's notice. But I would guess that maybe the strong person who we think is strong perhaps struggled with thoughts, discouragement, what have you, was going on in there. And I don't know all of that, but let's ask ourselves the question. Our own thoughts, like we would never say in most cases, maybe some of us are honest and just say, hey, I'm just a loser. It's not even worth trying. And the people who say that, we don't typically think of them as being really strong persons, really strong people. Really strong people don't typically say that. And so when that happens, likely there's something been going on that nobody knew about. And in the same way, in my dream, the devastated knowledge that the strong person gave up, you know, what's the fallout beyond that? And that's where I bring that into the connection of where God is looking for people to stand in the gap. When a person who is perceived to be strong gives up, how many people who are struggling are likely to give up and say, what's the chance for me? And so therefore, what we allow Satan to put into the well of our hearts goes way beyond the outcome of our own lives. It has far-reaching connections to other people that we seldom think about the impact that it would have. And also, as I pondered that, I realized that in my dream of that I told you all about wrestling with somebody who was trying to roll me off the cliff. In that dream, I realized that there was never an analyzing of, is this worth it? Is it worth the struggle? But rather, in my dream, the determination was to overcome. Didn't question it, didn't analyze it, didn't try to decide, is it worth it? But rather, it was clear in my mind that I needed to overcome, and I was going to give it my all to overcome. And so that, in my mind, tells me something, that the way we look at our lives has a huge impact of what's going to happen when the devil hits. How have we prepared our minds? What is our vision? What is our outlook? What is our goal? How well is the goal defined in our mind of the desire of the outcome of our life? So is it worth the effort? It was desperately worth the effort. And so that comes with a clear purpose and a clear vision. Jesus said, strive. Jesus said, strive to enter in. For many there will be in that day who will want to enter in but will not be able to. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Also, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, the struggle was worth it, Jesus said, and that is our example. What is going on in the well is very important, and just maybe, very far-reaching, way beyond us. Just maybe, and very likely, will have a big impact on many other people. God wants to cultivate his work in us so that we will be strong, so that we can stand in the gap and make up the hedge. What are we told about Daniel when Daniel came up against a situation where he very easily could have lost his head, quite literally, not lost his head in the way that we mean it, but quite literally. What does it tell us about Daniel in that situation? What did he do? Jane, someone going to say something? Even earlier, the first big test. Daniel purposed in his heart. He made up his mind ahead of time. Daniel purposed in his heart. David's prayer, Psalm 19. Let's turn to that real quick. Psalm 19, and David here is praying. Verse 7, he begins to talk about the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. That puts in perspective there what Jordan shared about the deceitfulness of riches. The statutes, the commands, the directions, the word of God is more to be desired than gold. The deceitful riches doesn't have a chance. The deceitfulness of riches doesn't have a chance when we value God's word more than gold. Verse 12. Verse 11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? David is saying, who can understand their own hearts, the error of their own hearts? He asks, God, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. David recognized that it is only by God's help and the working of God's word that his heart can be kept on the right track. And so there is a huge example for us. In Psalm 139, David says, search me, O God. Search me. Let me know. Because I don't even always understand the intention of my heart. Along with that, I believe another very important thing is to work on building a reaction. And that is very important. I have set a watch before my eyes. I have purposed in my heart. 1 John chapter 3, the first three verses there talk about recognizing who we are and the fact that someday we're going to see Jesus. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. What a privilege is ours. And because of that, the world acts like we're weird, to put it in our own words. But we're the sons of God. And we know, we don't know yet what we're going to be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And what comes after that? Every man that has this hope in himself purifies himself even as he is pure. So everyone that has the hope and the reality of someday, perhaps soon, seeing Jesus, he's prepping. That's the ultimate prepper. He's preparing. He is working toward, he wants his life to be pleasing so that when Jesus appears, so that when he appears, we won't be ashamed at his coming. No fear at his coming. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'll turn to those verses here real quickly. I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 1. This progression here could also be referred to as building a reaction, so that when the battle comes, there is no question in our mind. Is the battle worth it? Is it worth the effort? Is this a fight worth dealing with? We are told here in 2 Peter that there is a adding up, progressing, of working toward, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail. There is a building up, there is a strengthening that God wants to do, so that we will be equipped to be a person who stands in the gap, who makes up the difference, who has a great impact in the kingdom of God, and does not allow the enemy, the devil, to destroy the desired work that God wants to do in us. So I want to look at next time, I'll look at some things, more ways of how we, of what can get into our hearts. And I'm not just talking about lust and hatred and those big, huge, evil things, but also want to think about other things that are going to affect who we are and how we act when the unexpected hits. I'll look at that, and also want to look at more of what do we do to keep the lid tight on the well of our heart. That is so important. You know, those people in the villages, they don't always realize the importance of keeping a good lid on the well. And there's got to be a faithful person there that keeps reminding them. And you know what? They still don't always realize it. But eventually, when they start to make the connection to how they're feeling and how they're thriving, to the fact that the water isn't clean. Oh, I am too often like that. I've got to learn it. Even though I've been told, got to understand sometimes the effects. So we want to look at some ways of keeping that lid doing its job. So let's allow the Word of God to work its work in us. Let's allow the Spirit of God to apply that word to our life, whatever we're dealing with, whatever we're dealing with. God, Jesus Christ, he has a goal, he has a desire for our lives. The devil does too. He also does. May the Lord bless.